Okay, thank you for coming, everybody. Before I get started, I'd like to emphasize that the work that I'm presenting today really was done by Ina Serlin, who's a student, a PhD student of Rob Allison and I. So keep in mind that the credit for the work goes to Ina. And as you're viewing my presentation, you can also keep in mind that any errors or mess ups in the slides, you can blame me. So we're going to be talking a lot about crosstalk, obviously, today in this session. I thought it might be useful just to make clear what we're talking about when we use this term. It's obviously the property of the stereoscopic 3D imaging system, whereby there's leakage of one eye's image into the other eye's view. So basically, it's inadequate separation of the images that are being presented to the two eyes. And that's what we refer to as crosstalk. And the presence of crosstalk causes perceptual artifacts, and the most significant one of these is ghosting. And when we say ghosting, we're actually referring to the perceptual event where one eye sees this kind of hazy, ghosty image of the main object. And I've included for illustration here, if you imagine that this is one of the stereo pairs of a sunflower image, you can see the ghosting in the stems, so along here hopefully, and you can see a ghost image along the edge here of the heads of the flowers. It depends on where you're sitting relative to the screen, obviously. When the disparity is fairly small, this ghosting can appear like blur. So it can cause the image to look like it's just hazy. So both of these things cause an overall perceived reduction in the image quality. And that's been shown scientifically by a number of studies. But it can also cause viewing discomfort, and that's something I'll bring up again later. And that's also been shown by a number of investigators. So in previous work, we've used synthetic images, and synthetic is a fancy term for very simple images that we constructed in the laboratory, just white bars on a black background. And we use these stimuli to look at the effect of crosstalk on the amount of depth observers perceive from a given disparity. So just to be clear, we're really talking about depth magnitude percepts. And so in these previous experiments, we found that definitely the presence of crosstalk degrades the percept of depth magnitude using these synthetic stimuli. And this effect increases with increasing disparity. Also, it's present regardless of the degree of overlap of the ghost images. So if you recall the image of the sunflower where the ghost image was quite separate from in the stem area, but was consistent, sort of continuous with the head of the flower. So you get these degradations regardless of what type of ghosting we're talking about or how the ghosting looks. So the aim of the work that I'm going to talk to you about today is pretty straightforward. We wanted to see if these findings that we've reported previously using simple stimuli generalize to more complex natural scenes. And when I say more complex natural scenes, I'm really talking about natural scenes where you'll have multiple objects, multiple scales, multiple disparities, and also additional cues to depth. So I'll briefly walk you through our methods. We presented our stimuli on a mirror stereoscope such that the viewing distance was about 60 centimeters and each eye viewed a separate CRT display. So this is a zero crosstalk system. And then we could simulate the crosstalk by using software to adjust the images. So we had 9 observers. 7 of our observers were naive, and 2 of them were the authors, not so naive. And the stimuli that we used were two photographs of two different scenes, a laboratory scene and a kitchen scene. And we took the images using a Fujifilm camera, a 3D W3 camera, with the same focal length and a fixed IA as well. It's 7.5 millimeters. So I think we should switch now, Wayne, to show the images. I just want to show you stereoscopically the two scenes that we used. So if you put on your polarized eyewear, what you'll see here is the image of the kitchen scene. And you should see a nice sense of depth. Of course, this isn't exactly, the sense of depth you're seeing is not the same as our observers, because they were sitting 60 centimeters from it and viewing it in an oscilloscope, in a stereoscope, but you get the idea. So this is the kitchen scene, and we also had a laboratory scene. The images I'm showing you right now have no simulated crosstalk, so any crosstalk that you are seeing is from the eyewear that you're actually wearing. One thing I might point out to you is that the lab scene is fairly cluttered. We've added in a lot of objects so that we could have lots of options in terms of judgments of relative depth in the scene. And I'll point out that our lab doesn't always look this messy. Okay, we'll switch back now, Wayne. Thanks. Okay, so using our lab scene and our kitchen scene, we identified pairs of points in the scene at different that had different disparity values or disparity separations. In the lab scene, these ranged from 5.3 to 17.7 arcmin, and in the kitchen scene, they range from 10.6 to 65.5. And as I mentioned before, we added the crosstalk to these images, we simulated it by a software, and we had seven different crosstalk levels ranging from 0 to 32%. And I know there will be people speaking after me about ways of simulating crosstalk. Our method was very straightforward, very simple. We just simulated the crosstalk by attenuating one eye's image by the appropriate percentage and adding it to the other eye, and vice versa. So just to recap, then, we have our seven crosstalk levels, we have our two images, and we have a set of four comparison points in each scene of different disparities. And so each observer was tested on each of these conditions. We tested the two images in separate blocks, and they saw each image and each condition several times. So then we averaged the data to get our estimates of depth magnitude in each case. So I'll just walk you through the procedure. Initially, the observer's sitting looking through the mirror stereoscope, and they see a 2D version of the image that they're going to view. And I'm not sure if you can see this, but between the toaster and the pumpkin, there's a blue line. Hopefully people can see this. There's a line with an arrow at the end. And so that would appear in 2D so that the observer would know what two points they're comparing in the scene. Then that would go away, and the 3D version of the image would appear with stereoscopic depth, and the observer would simply be asked to estimate the magnitude of the depth between those two points that had been identified using this virtual ruler. And so they would just adjust this horizontal bar relative to the base of this ruler to indicate how much depth they saw. And as I said a few minutes ago, they did this repeatedly for many images, for many crosstalk levels, many disparity pairs. So here's the data, and I'll unpack this for you. So I've got our two images, the lab scene and the kitchen scene. And what you see in each graph, we have the estimated depth in centimeters along the vertical axis and the crosstalk level along the horizontal axis. In both graphs, the individual functions represent the different disparity values, the different comparisons that the observers were making, ranging from small values in the dark blue to large values in the teal. And we've converted the disparities to centimeters in this graph, so predicted amount of depth in centimeters from the setting that they made, so that we could compare accurately with the axis. So what you'll see first off is that we get a very sharp fall off with crosstalk. That is, that for each of these comparison disparities, we find that the estimated depth drops quite dramatically as the crosstalk level increases. And this isn't really surprising. This is what we found in our previous study as well. But it's quite interesting that the falloff is quite sharp. The slopes here are very steep, and they're the same across the two images. Now, to make this point a little more clearly, we normalize the data by taking each individual's data for a given disparity and dividing it by the maximum depth estimation for that disparity. And here's the normalized data, which makes it easier to compare across the disparity values and across the two images. So you'll see that the fall off, or the drop in the perceived depth with a given disparity, is occurring in much the same way as a function of crosstalk for both images and for all disparities. Now, something else you might have noticed, or you might not have, in the original data, we also observed, this is quite interesting to us, that at the zero crosstalk condition, there we go, the depth estimates were quite a bit exaggerated given the predicted amount of depth that they should have seen given that disparity. So especially with our laboratory scene, which you'll recall was the most cluttered, we find that there was about a factor of two to three overestimation in the amount of depth that they're indicating they see from these disparities. And I'll come back to that point in a second. So just to recap here, obviously, crosstalk has a detrimental effect on perceived depth in these natural scenes. And we found when we did the statistics that the point at which you see a significant drop is somewhere between 2 and 4% crosstalk, which is quite low. And as I just mentioned, the perceived depth in natural scenes is overestimated on average. I hope that's not me, John. Okay, I'll just move right along. So we've identified a few possible reasons for the depth overestimation. Obviously, I'm running a little short of time, so I can't go into it fully here, but we do talk about this in the manuscript that we submitted, so you can have a look at that. One possibility is it's due to the method of measurement that we used. Another is the presence of geometric distortions. And what I mean here by geometric distortions is just that the observers are not viewing the images from exactly the point that the images were taken. So there will be some perspective distortions and point of view kinds of issues that may affect things. Although I will say that you'd expect if this was the case, we'd find the same kinds of overestimations from both of our images, and that's not what happened. And finally, the presence of pictorial cues. For good reason, and if you have a look at our manuscript, you'll see why, we think that this is the most likely explanation We've ruled out the method of measurement as a cause. We ran a follow-up study using a disparity probe task where we had observers adjust two squares in depth to determine or to indicate the perceived magnitude of offset in our pairs of points in our laboratory scene. And we found the same fall off with crosstalk, and we also find the same exaggeration with depth estimates. So we're quite confident it's not the method of measurement that's coming into play here. So just to compare with our previous work, the main point here is that the crosstalk kicked in at a later point with our synthetic images. We found that the critical point was between 4 and 8%. When we used our little lines, whereas we find that point is 2 to 4% with our natural images. And also with our synthetic images, the reduction we saw was highly dependent on the disparity in the scene. So as we increased the disparity, we saw more degradation of perceived depth. And that really didn't occur to the same degree in our natural images. Also, I just want to tell you that some of our observers spontaneously reported nausea and headaches. I was one of those, with the natural scenes. And that did not occur when we were using our synthetic images. And this has been reported in the literature previously, but if anyone would like to talk about that later, I'd be happy to do so. So just to conclude, our previous results do generalize to images which are more complex, natural scenes like you might find in film footage, and the adverse effect of crosstalk seems to be greater in the natural scenes. That is, it kicks in earlier. And we recommend keeping crosstalk well below 4% to make sure that you have optimal image quality. So as a take-home message, I'd like to keep for you to keep in mind that ghosting is murder in 3D. Thank you very much to my colleagues and our funders.
Are we live? Yes, we are. Lori, that was a wonderful talk.
Thank you, John.
We're to keep things on schedule. We'll take a couple of questions. Mike Weissman.
I actually have a couple questions, but I'll just ask one.
Yeah, quickly though. Yeah.
You reported nausea. Yeah. Was that at what level of crosstalk?
That's a good point. So we didn't actually measure observers' comfort levels, but as an observer, I felt that it kicked in at about 15%, so at high levels of crosstalk. We didn't see it when we were using fairly low levels of crosstalk, but once it got high, and just to give my feeling about it, to me it felt like I was trying to match the wrong things in the scene, which you can imagine, you get sort of matching confusions, and so the vergence system starts messing things up, and I think that was the cause of it. But it's not something we've looked into because it really wasn't the focus of this work.
That would be an interesting follow-up study.
Yeah, for sure. It surprised me. I thought that I couldn't understand why you'd get any, but there you go.
One more question out there somewhere. Lenny. Lenny Lipton.
Isn't it possible that people are using a different part of their minds or cognition when they're asked to measure things from just looking at an image and appreciating it in some other way?
For sure. And in fact, that's why you do separate studies. In fact, I've done experiments where I'm looking at whether or not people like the image versus don't like the image. So that's one measure. Most certainly you will get a different kind of result if you do that than if you're looking at, as we have here, how much depth are they actually seeing. So I think it's everybody knows and it's well established now that it affects viewer appreciation. And now we're trying to get at something a little more hardcore, and that is, does it actually affect how much depth they're seeing?
Thank you very much, Lori.
Thank you.